Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Zayin, and we are 17 lines from the top of daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph E Boyelohu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rufol Chaim Shayosha ben Babachaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Elena bas Chana, Chaim Iyam ben Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shlomo Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadassa, and Chavez Serol bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilu Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloim Mezev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So yesterday, we began the 18th Perek of Masech de Shabbos, Perek Mefanim, which begins with a halacha related to Tircha B'Shabbos. So the Chachamim said that a person is not allowed to exert too much effort to do something, even if that something is mutter on Shabbos, meaning you're not violating any of the lamatas malachas, you're not carrying something that's mukta, you're not violating hoitzah in a karmelis, you're not going outside of the tchum, your animal's not doing malacha. Stating that if what you're doing involves too much tircha, that in and of itself is going to be a problem. And the Mishnah gave an example of what's considered too much tircha. You can't empty out a storage room that has kupais of tefuah. So if you have a garage or you have some storage room, a shed, a barn where you keep things, you wouldn't be allowed to empty that out on Shabbos. How much of it are you not allowed to empty? So the Mishnah said that there's an idea of up to 4 or 5 kupais already being questionable. Stating that, the Mishnah did say that if you want to empty 4 or 5 kupais on Shabbos, even though really it involves tircha, but if you do it letzayrich mitzvah, such as mepnei ha'archim, or you're doing it because of bittul beis medrash, for example, you want to give a shir in the garage, you'd have to empty out some kupas. So then the halacha would be that even though technically you're engaging in something that's muktz, that involves a lot of tircha, but the halacha is that that would be okay. Now when the Mishnah presented the halacha, so the Mishnah said that the halacha is you could be mefana, you can clear out 4 or 5 kupas mepnei ha'archim, mepnei bittul beis medrash. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, is it 4 or is it 5? And the Gemara gave 2 approaches, Rav Chisda and Shmuel. Rav Chisda said that what the Mishnah is saying is as follows. There's a maximum of amount of kupais that you'd be allowed to clear out, even if it's Letzarech Mitzvah, even if it's Mipnei Archim, even if it's Mipnei Bittul Beis Medrash, and that is 5. So what did the Mishnah mean when it said 4? What it said was is that if all you have is 5 kupais in the Oitzer, then you wouldn't be allowed to clear out all 5. Then you'd only be allowed to clear 4 of the 5. But at the very least, you'd have to leave 1. And the reason is because if you're going to empty out all the kupais, there's a concern that you may see a hole in the ground. If you see a hole in the ground, you may want to fill that hole. That's what's known as ashvuei gumois. That could be an isedai rice of boinus. For that reason, the Chachamim said there's a maximum of 5, but at the same time, you can't always do 5. Because if all you have is 5, and by removing 5, you will have removed all of them, that's going to be an issue. That's the way Rav Chisda understood that line in the Mishnah of mefanen afilu arba v'chamesh kupais. But Shmuel said a different shot. Shmuel said, no, 4 or 5 is just a figure of speech. Kedamri inchi, people talk that way. And it was really the Tana's way of saying a lot. Doesn't matter if it's 4 or 5. Or Rashi says, for that matter, even if it's a lot more than 4 or 5. Either way, the halacha would be that it would be okay to take a large amount. Now, Shmuel agreed with what Rav Chisda said, and that is he can't remove all. Because if you're going to take out all the kupais, same concern. Then you may see a hole in the ground, and you may come lashfuye gumas. But we have a machlekes Rav Chisda and Shmuel in halacha how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rav Chisda, the maximum amount of kupais that a person's allowed to take out on Shabbos is 5. According to Shmuel, you can take out as many as you want. The only condition is you have to make sure that you don't remove all of the kupai. So on that note, the Gemara begins with an Ibaya. And the Ibaya of the Gemara, as we'll see, is all in Rav Chisda's world. So Rav Chisda, that had a number of 4 out of 5 or a maximum of 5, says the Gemara, Ibaya lohana arba v'chamesh kupais dekama ba'arba v'chamesh kupais in tveiloi. It sounds like there's a halacha of a shear. It can't be more than 5 kupais. Or sometimes, if all there are is 5 kupais, a maximum of 4 kupais. So the question was, what would be the halacha if somebody had the opportunity to take the tefuah that's in 4 or 5 kupais, move it into a smaller kupa, like into a smaller little container, and remove it that way. Would that be preferable, or maybe to the contrary, that would be worse? What's the shaila? The shaila is a certain amount of tircha that we're allowing a person to do on Shabbos, even though we're not so happy with it, but it's mipnei archin, it's mipnei bittul beis medrash. So the question is, what's considered less tircha? Is it considered less tircha to take less trips, even though each trip is going to involve you carrying something heavier? Or is it less tircha to take more trips where each thing that you're going to be carrying is going to be lighter? So again, the assumption is that it's five kupos, and it's then the shear of the amount of tefuah that you would have in five kupos. But the question is it okay, and maybe even preferable, for me to take the tefuah out of the kupos to put them in smaller containers? Or maybe not? That's the shaila of the Gemara. Do we say that it's davka four or five kupos, but tefela, you can't take the amount of tefuah that you have in four or five kupos, put them into more kupos? What does that mean? Into more smaller kupos and carry it that way? Because alma lemuta belucha adif, the assumption then would be, because the less trips you take, it's better. I don't know, maybe if I care, maybe that is a good thing. Lemuta masu adif, maybe take more trips. Each thing that you're going to carry is going to be lighter, and that's actually the preferable way of doing it. That was the boy of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Toshma, I think I could bring you a raya from a brisa, maybe from the Mishnah, it's not clear. But I think we have some insight from not just one brisa, but two brisa. Tony Chad, we learned to the brisa, Mefana, fill Abra, Vachamish Kupa, Shakade Shemen, Shakade Yayin. A person's allowed to be Mefana, four or five kupas of Kade Shemen, jugs of oil, and Kade Yayin, jugs of wine, which is really similar to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mefana, Nafilu, Arba, Vachamish. So the Bryce is saying the same halacha. Bryce is not talking about kupois, it's talking about kadei shem and kadei yai. But the time you learned in another Bryce, it's be'esav v'chamish asri. No, the number is not 4 or 5. Rather, the number is 10 or 15. So what is that all about? So Gemara says, "My lab b'hakam mifli." There seems to be some machloikis over here. So maybe the machloikis is precisely aribay. The my sovam muute behiluch adif. Umar sovam muute b'masay adif. The first brisa holds that no, it has to be four or five kupas. And even if you have an opportunity to move it into something smaller, that wouldn't be okay, because at the end of the day, muute behiluch adif, it's better to take less trips. So don't take your four or five kupas worth, put it into something smaller, and then end up doing it in 10, 15 trips. Why would you want to do that? Because every time you're carrying it, it's going to be a little bit lighter. But at the same time, you're going to end up taking more trips, so that's not a good thing. The brisa that says 10 or 15 is not arguing with the quantity, the amount that you're allowed to carry. The amount that you're allowed to carry is the same four or five that the Mishnah said. But what he's saying is that there's an idea of taking the four or five, putting it into smaller containers, and carrying it that way. Because mu'ute masu yadav, it's better to schlep less each time you schlep, rather than take less trips. So the Gemara says this seeming contradiction between two brises maybe could be reconciled with the two tzadim of this Yibayas. It says the Gemara, Tashma, maybe the Yibayas is actually a machloikis between these two brises, but the Gemara says, Loi, everybody agrees that it's better to take less trips. And really, there would be no idea to take what you have in four or five kupas, put them into more kupas, so like this you'll take more trips where each thing that you're carrying is going to be lighter. No, in terms of what's less tercha is to walk less, to have to take less trips. So what then does the price mean when it said 10 or 5, 10 or 15, when that price is said 10 or 15, it wasn't referring to the kupas, rather akadin koi. What it's referring to was the kadin. The kad, these jugs, were smaller than the kupos. V'loy kasha, and the way you reconcile this theory is as follows. Hadem mishtakli chad chad bekupa, v'hadem mishtakli trey trey. Meaning, you're allowed to carry four or five kupos worth, mipnei yo'archim, u'mipnei bittel beis medrash. The question is, if I have a bunch of kadim, I have a bunch of jugs, so if I want to carry it out, so what would you do? You would say, okay, take the jugs, they're smaller than the kupa, stop piling them into the kupas. As soon as you fill up four or five kupas, that's when you're gonna start carrying it out. Okay, now a kad sometimes was smaller than the kupa. Sometimes it wasn't smaller than the kupa. And the two prices that give two different numbers, we're actually talking about two different types of kadim. There was the kad that was shove to the kupa, and then there was the kad that had a 1-to-2 ratio. And in fact, v'hadim ishtakli tlasa tlasa, and then there was the kad that had the 1-to-3 ratio. And that's what we're talking about. The price that says how many kadiyayin, kadishemen, four or five, is talking about where it was one kad per kupa. The shear is four or five kupas, so the shear is going to be four or five kadim. The price that says 10 or 15, 10 is when it's two kadim to a kupa, 15 is when it's three kadim to a kupa. So then obviously what you could do is you can start filling up the kupas with the kadim and end up taking it in four or five trips. But the point is, at the end of the day, there's no idea of taking the four or five kupas worth, putting them into smaller containers and taking more trips. Because in the world of what's considered more tircha or what's considered less tircha, mu'ute hilucha is the preference rather than mu'ute masai. The Gemara says, where do you find kadim that are so small that you can fit three kadim into a kupa? So again, it's hard to appreciate this without having living in those times. But the kuri darpanya, these were certain kadim. That's what this halacha would be in a game. It feels a little bit like this shayla, mu'ute behilucha adif, or mi'ute b'masoy adif, is related to something that we talk a lot about in the daf, and that is quality versus quantity in halacha. Right? That's something that comes up often. Rabbi Yosef Engel in his base oitzer clears this chakira. Quality versus quantity. Kamus versus echos in halacha. So for example, whenever there's a machlokes between Bishan and Bisul, we pass like Bisul. Why? Because Bisul was the rabbim, Achri Rabbim Lahatos. Now, although it's true quantitatively Bisul was the rabbim, Bisul's yeshiva was a much larger yeshiva than Bishamay's was. The criteria that you needed to enter Bisul's yeshiva, the threshold was much lower than it was in Bishamay's world, Ayin, Avister Rav Nasan, Perek Beis. But at the same time, Bishamay, the Gemara says in Mesachtes Yevamos, they were mechadid itfei, they were bigger lamdonim. Beisula was Rav HaKamus. Beishamay was Rav HaEchos. If somebody has a Shaila, there's a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, and you have to give him the Kal HaKal. And there's two options. You can shecht an animal on Shabbos, do one act of Shechita, which is a Loisa Sheyesh by Karas, or feed him Nevela, where every Kezias in Nevela that this Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana is going to eat, he's going to be over another lap. Said Rav Yosef Engel, Rav HaEchos, Loisa Sheyesh by Karas, that's more Chamer, or Rav HaKamus, a regular Loisa Sei, but another Loisa Sei, and another Loisa Sei, and another Loisa Sei. So you have this idea of Echos versus Kamus. So what's considered, and here we're dealing with something a little bit more balabatish, a little bit more practical, we're dealing over here with schlepping something. What's considered more tercha, what's considered less tercha? But me'ute behilucha adif, or me'ute b'masoy adif, feels a little bit like Kamus versus Echos in halacha. You know, Ibailu, Hani Arbe v'chamish t'kamar. So this shit that the Mishnah said, Mefanen afilo Arbe v'chamish kupay shal tefen. Is this shear a shear that is always going to be the maximum, meaning even if you have a lot of guests, or maybe at the same time, this shear is really relative. It's tein l'chacham v'yech gamoy. Meaning the Mishnah said, if you have a Shabbos meal or whatever, there's archim that are coming. Right? That's one of the reasons that you would be allowed to be mafana four or five kupas. So then the understanding is, it's four. What if you're having a lot of guests, you're making a suda, a sheva bracha, so maybe then it would be different. So maybe then the halacha would be even more. Assuming that if there are many guests, this is a larger event, then you would be allowed to take more. So here's the question. Could one person clear it all out? Or maybe, no, if you have a lot of guests, okay, so pro rata, there's an understanding of how much each individual person is allowed to clear out. But the point is, if you're hosting 100 guests, you can't go ahead and start clearing out 20, 30 kupas. No, if you're allowed to clear 4 or 5 based on a certain amount of guests, okay, now you're having more guests, you'll have to appoint someone else. You tell the guests, you want to come eat? All right, you're going to work for it. You have to start schlepping things from the yitzir and moving tables and benches. But the point is, maybe socially inappropriate, but lahalacha, now you'll need the archim to help you out, because maybe even if you're having a lot of guests, and even on the tzad, that in that instance, you could be mefana more than 4 or 5, but at the very least, you can't do it yourself. So the Gemara's test, Tashmat. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chiyah, Pamach, Salak Rabbi, the Makam Echor. Rabbi once went to a certain place. Where? We don't know. The Rav Makim Dachuk Ketamidim, and he saw that the place was Dachuk, it was sekvetched. The Yatzal saw this, he went out to the field, this was on Shabbos. Umatzal saw the Malaya Oimrim, and he saw there were Oimrim, there was Tfu in the field. The Ime Rebbe Kalasot the Kula. So Rebbe went and he gathered all the Tfu in the field. Now, if you take this one line out of context, Ime Rebbe Kalasuda Ma'amer, gathering is one of the Lamatas Malachas. So obviously this wasn't Emer in the conventional sense, because Rebbe obviously didn't violate one of the Lamatas Malachas. But what he did was he was gathering things that he was allowed to gather on Shabbos. The issue was more of a Tircha issue. But you see that, what did Rebbe do? He literally saw a field that was Meleya Oimrim. This was a lot of tircha to clean up, and Rebbe did it anyways. And it sounds like Rebbe did it by himself, right? Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Shaya, Pamach, Solak, Rabbi Chiyah, Malkam Echad, Rosh, Malkam Dachal, Tamidim. V'yatzal l'sadu, matzal sadu b'leya, Oymer, v'imer, Rabbi Chiyah, Kol ha-sadu kulo. So Rabbi Yosef had a different version of the story. It's Rabbi had one version, so you almost know for sure Rabbi Yosef had a different version. Rabbi's version was with Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef's version was with Rabbi Chiya, but again, the same point. And that is, you have the Gedoyle Yisrael, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi or Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's Talmud, Rabbi Chiya, on Shabbos, they were Imer Kol HaSod HaKulah. So what do you see from here? Shmami, you know, one thing for sure you see is HaKol HaFi Arche. That even though the Mishnah gave a number, Mefana Afilo Arba V'Chamesh Kupais, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll never be able to be mafana more than that. But rather, that's just a formula to work with. But you can take that formula and apply it and use your seichel, the fifth of Shulchan Aruch, and say, okay, so for an ordinary Suda, it's 4 or 5. So if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi comes with all his Talmidim, you'd be allowed to be mafana more. You'd even be allowed to be ma'amer the entire Suda. So we had 2 shailas. The first shaila was the number 4 or 5. Is that only for a typical Suda, or is that always the number? Even if you have a lot of Aruchans, it could be 4 or 5. Okay, we would just push it that shayla. Shema mina hakol afiyah archin. But the Gemara says the second shayla we still have. What was the second shayla? Assuming you're allowed to be mafana more than 4 or 5 when you have a lot of guests, can you yourself do all of it, or do you have to divvy it up? You have to have other people help you out. That we seemingly can't be poshet from this story. But the Gemara says, no, I disagree. Tashma, because ve'imer Rebbe. Because Rebbe seemed to have done it. So if Rebbe did it, you see one person could do it. So number one, you see 4 or 5, yeah, that's the minimum, that's the benchmark. But at the same time, if you have a lot of guests, it could be more than 4 or 5. Number two, you see that one person could do all of it by himself. Because Rebbe seemed to have done it by himself. He didn't ask his Talmidim to help him. He seemed to do it by himself. But the Gemara says, that can't be. That last Toshma, that last Knech is not possible. He said, because the Gemara says, let me ask you, Rebbe ben Nafshe Imer, could Rebbe have possibly done it by himself? Why not? Says Rashi, v'chi orche denosi bahachi. Rebbe was denosi. Rebbe was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Rebbe maybe even had a din of a melech. We've spoken about that. And a melech shemachal al kvoidei and kvoidei machal. But the point is not so simple. Rebbe would go ahead and Rebbe would do something like this. Alat siva v'imer. It doesn't mean he did it. He asked. He oversaw it. He was the project manager. He made sure that this was getting done. But he didn't physically do it. Ulo'ilam kol chad v'chad mafani l'nafshe. It could be really everybody did it onto himself. Either way, the Mishnah said, mefani nafilu arba v'chomesh kupay shaltevin. So number one, what does 4 or 5 even mean? Chloikis, Rav Chizda, and Shmuel. And then we had a few ibayas as it relates to this basic halacha of 4 or 5. Number one, is it ideal maybe to take the 4 or 5, put them into smaller kupas like this? Each kupa that I carry won't be so heavy, although it's going to be at the expense, at the invoice of me having to take more trips. That was the first ibay in the Gemara. Second ibay in the Gemara was, what if I'm having a lot of guests? One of the times you're allowed to be mafan of 4 or 5 kupas is mipnei archim. So what if I'm hosting a big suda? So maybe then I could do more than 4 or 5. And assuming I can I do it all by myself? Or do I need somebody to help me? Zok the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that even though ordinarily tircha b'shabbos is aser, and ordinarily it would be not okay for a person to clear an oitzer, 4 or 5 kupois. However, a tzairich mitzvah, they're the chachamah wa mekel. So what's an example of a tzairich mitzvah? So Mishnah gave 2 examples. Number one is mipnei ha'archim, and number two is mipnei bittel beis medrash. So for learning Torah and for hosting guests. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan made a beautiful observation from the Mishnah. He said, G'doy l'achnosas archim kashkomas beis medrash. You see that achnosas archim, the mitzvah, is as chashuv as, because we're putting the two together. Diktani mipnei archim u'mipnei bittel beis medrash. What do you mean? How could you compare anything to learning Torah? So you see from here, G'doy l'achnosas archim kibittel beis medrash. Rabbi Dimonar says, no, I see even more than that, Rabbi Yochanan. He said, Yoisim ashkomas beis medrash. You see achnosas archim even more than Ashkama space measures. Diktani mipnei ha'archim first, the hadir upnei pitol base measure. Then it says pitol base measures, which is more chashiv, the one that you mentioned first. The order always matters in Chazal. So first we mention mipnei ha'archim, and only afterwards we mention mipnei pitol base measures. So that's a raya, not that gedoy lachnosas archim ki Ashkama space measures, but no, gedoy lachnosas archim yoiser me Ashkama space measures. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. On that note, gedoy lachnosas archim hakbolas pnei shchino. Hachnosas archim is more chashuv than hakbolas pnei shchino. So what could be more chashuv than having the opportunity to greet Hashem, to have a communication, to have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hachnosas archim. That's greater. Gedoy lachnosas archim me'akpolas pnei shchina. D'chsev, because the pasuk says, Vayoymer Hashem, im no matzosi chen be'inecho, al no savor me'al avdecho. Now who's talking over here? Avram Avinu. Not Vayoymer Hashem, but rather it's Avram Avinu talking to Hashem. Vayoymer. Hashem. And we all know what happened. Avram Avinu was sitting outside, and it's very hot, and it's Shlishi Lamila, and Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and reveals himself to Avram Avinu. And then in the middle of this conversation, of this nevuah between Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu sees guests. So Avram Avinu turns to Hashem and he says, please Hashem, don't go anywhere. Please, Hashem, do you mind if I put you on hold for a second? I have to deal with something. I have to take this click. Seriously? Where are you going? This guest coming. It's unbelievable. Omer Rabbi Lazar said, is that what Avram Avinu did? He literally put HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a hold to pick up a click? Yeah. Boyure shaloi kemidas hakadosh baruch hu midas basavadam. Midas basavadam. In kato yachalim the gadol hamdein. Acha ove yatzlecha. A katan can never tell this to a gadol, but the ilu hakadosh baruch hu, except when it comes to hakadosh baruch hu, vayoymer Hashem im no matzasi chen beinecho al no savor me'alav decho. Before we go weiter, Rabbi Bienenfeld told me that he heard b'shem the chasam soifer, that why is it that when it comes to a mitzvah, bein adam lech you don't make a bracha. So when it comes to a mitzvah ben adam l'makim, you always make a bracha. But by a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveri, you don't make a bracha. So the reason is because you see it in this Gemara, that when it comes to doing a chesed with another yid, you put a Kadosh Baruch Hu on hold, so to speak, to go ahead and jump in and to do the chesed. You don't delay the chesed. So what would that mean? It means somebody's coming into your house and he's hungry and you want to give him something. You're being mekayim the mitzvah tztaka. You're being mekayim the mitzvah bikacholim of nicham aveilim. You're being mekayim the mitzvah of achnasas archim. He says, hold on one second. I'm going to feed you in a minute. I have to talk to Hashem. Baruch ato Hashem alikeinu melocholim hashekid ishanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu. No, the Gemara says, g'doy l'achnasas archim yoyser. That faker, that Avram Avinu told Hashem, im no matzasichem beinach al nasab. Hashem, I'm putting you on hold. I have to grab this. This is important. So you see from here that when it comes to a question of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Akpolas Bnei Shechina versus Ben Adam L'Chaveri, no, the Ben Adam L'Chaveri comes first. This is the Makar Sedach Sam Soif, a half of a fellow. This is the Makar to this idea that you don't make a bracha. This is where you see it in this Chazal, that you don't make a bracha when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveri. But on this note, on the note of Achnasas Archim, and on the note of Bittul Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yochanan said, G'doy L'Achnasas Archim, Ki Hashkar Base Medrash. Rav Dimi from Nahardo said, "Gedoy lachnasas archim yoisem hashkamas base medrash." I'm Rav Yudavar Shelom, Rav Asim, Rav Yoichin, and Shishet Varam Adam Ichver. Some of them, as ever, can't keep a sloy. Lo ilam abba. There are six things that if a person does these mitzvahs, he's going to be rewarded in this world and in Yenevel. So ordinarily, the rule is schar mitzvah b'hay al molech, and that's a good thing because really the schar mitzvah is so incredible that it's impossible for this world, this oilam hazeh, this fleeting chaloyim yov, to facilitate, to even allow the schar of a mitzvah. Schar mitzvah is too much for this world. But there are certain mitzvahs where we're going to be rewarded in the next world, but it throws off a return, it throws off a dividend in this world, where we're oichol peireseim b'olam hazeh, but v'akeren, the principle is kayemes, I mean, we're not losing anything. This is just an investment that throws off an annual return, and that return, the peireseim, is what we're able to benefit from this world. So what are these six things? Ve'elohe, nachnasas archim, ubikur choylin, ve'iyun tefila. So iyun tefila in different Gemaras means different things. Rashi says, lechavim b'tefilasa. It means kavana during tefila. V'ashkomes beis hamidrash. V'megadu bonav l'talmud Torah. Someone that raises children to learn Torah. V'adon es chaveru l'kafschos. These are the big six. Hachnasas archim, bikur choylin, kavana during davening, waking up early to learn, be megadol bonav l'talmud Torah and donas chaver l'kafsos. Very good. More anyis that about nine times we learned in the Mishnah. Elu dvarim shalom beisam some va'ichal perizem be'lo mazah. That can't chemist loy le'mabav ve'elu hey kibidav ve'aim ugimilos chasadim va'avoy shalom shebein adam l'chaveroi ve'talmud Torah can I get kulon? Number one, it's not six, it's four. And number two, it's not the same list. And the question is, the first list, the six, was Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shelo, Amar Rav Asim Rabbi Yochanan. It traces itself back to Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan, the Amayra. And he have a Mishnah. Mishnah has a different list. The Mishnah's list is four. So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan, can I get a Mishnah? The Mishnah is going to win every day of the week. So the Kash is a Kash on Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan have his list of six? Number one, it's the Mishnah only had four, and it's not even the same list. Says the Gemara, Hani midi achrini loy. And for the Gemara, Hani nami, you have to say, Bahani shaychi. That really, Rabbi Yochanan's six were included in the four. And really, what Rabbi Yochanan was doing was he was being mefarish the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned four, and Rabbi Yochanan gave a more elaborate description of the four. So what are the four? Kibud av'em, gemilus chasadim, Havoy Shalom Sheben Adam Lechaveri and Talmud Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan 6 are somehow included in the 4. So how are they included? So let's see Rashi inside. Top Rashi on the Amid. Hachnas has Orcha Mabikur Chaylam. Those were the first two Rabbi Yochanan mentioned. Hainuk Milos Chasadim. That's easy. Ve'im Tfilah. Where do you see tefillah? The Mishnah didn't say anything about tefillah. Hainu bichlal gemilus chasadim. It's included in gemilus chasadim. The pasuk says goymel nafshoy ish chasad. It's interesting. Usually you think al shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimed al Torah al avoda gemilus chasadim. Avoda is tefillah. It's the way we're accustomed to thinking. And gemilus chasadim is chasad. You don't think of them as being the same. But here we have an interesting Rashi tucked away. Shabbos kufcha is so much on Shabbos kufcha v'zayin. There's another thing in Shabbos kufcha v'zayin. Hafachba v'hafachba. That tefillah, or iyun tefillah anyways, is included in gemilus chasadim. You have to know why. Hashkomas beis hamedrash v'gidol banim l'talmud Torah. Hainu talmud Torah. And damis chaveru l'kavzchus. That's bechlal hava shalom. That in order for a person to be an oisa shalom, you have to know how to be dan people of kav schos, the mitoich shu machriel the schos, the amal loy chotali bezois, anus haya, oy latoivim nischavin, yesh shalim in him. But if a person doesn't know how to judge other people favorably, he's going to end up being a bal machloikis. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, was being mefarish what the Tanis, that's what Amiram did. Right? What did Amiram do? What was the job of the Amor? To be mefarish the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Havoy Shalom ben Adam lechaveru. So Rabbi Yochanan said, what does that mean practically? Yeah, of course, everybody wants to be, have Shalom. No one wants to have machloikis. You know what the answer is? The answer is Dan es chaveru lekavschos. If you're able to be Dan a person lekavschos, that's the way you could be. Oysa Shalom. Rabbi Yochanan was being mefarish the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Havoy Shalom. That's big. Practically, what's the takeaway? What am I supposed to do? Dan is kolodon l'schafschos. You wouldn't think of that. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan came v'hemidan alachas hava shalom, which seems to intersect with so many parts of our life. Yeah, that's you want a good klal tachlis to take with you. How you could be a baal shalom if you can always be dan people l'schafschos. Doesn't matter what the person's going to do to you. At the end of the day, you'll always find a way. You'll be able to twist it l'schafschos. We'll talk more about that in tomorrow's daf. But for now, we have an epic, a gemara that we've referred to many times in the daf. But ve'im beis medrash b'loy chiddush tanu rabbanan. So on the topic of being danes chaveri l'schafschos, says the gemara a brice. Adan chaveri l'schafschos tanu noisa. So not only if a person is dan chaver l'chavschos will he have shalom b'mroimov, he's going to be in a place of peace. He won't have machloikis. That's the way to be hava shalom. But in addition to that, there's a silver lining, and that is people are going to be dan him l'chavschos. Or the way some explain in Shemayim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to dan him l'chavschos. Says the Gemara, we'll demonstrate this with a few stories. There was a story with a person sheyored migalil ha'elyoin v'niskar etzel balabayis echabedar. So this person, this Adam Echad, lived in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and he traveled down south for a job, and he worked at this job shalosh shana for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur, the third year, amaloi. So this payel turned to his boss, the Baal HaBayis, this other mechad, and said, "Tein li schari." So I worked for you for 3 years. I was a payel nemon. It's time for me to go home. He says, "Please, can you give me my food? The ezlinis ishti ubana. I have a family. They're waiting for me. I need to support them." Amaloi. So he told him, "Ein li mois." He says, "I'll be honest with you. I know you worked for me for 3 years. Chavnish de geld, kesef minolan, kedushin daf beis. If I had the money, I would give it to you. I just don't have it." Amaloi. So he told him, "Tainly pay rise." "Okay," says, "fine, you don't have cash. But could you give me pay rise?" "Amaloi ainly." "Tainly karka." "So I'll take a piece of real estate. Just transfer over a deed of one of your fields. I'm happy with that." He said, "Ainly." He said, "Tainly behema." "Ainly." "Tainly karm v'kastois." "Give me pillows and blankets." "Ainly." So this Adam Echad had no choice. He took his belongings, he threw it on the back of his shoulder rather dramatically, and he went back home from the southern part of Eretz Yisrael to the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, but pachi nefesh, depressed. After Yontif, not the Balabayis, the Baal HaBayis took the schar, all the money that he owed this Adam Echad, and he took 3 donkeys. Each one of these donkeys was loaded with things. One had food, one had drinks, and the other one had other good stuff. And he went to the house of this other mechad. After they had drink, he gave him all his money. And then the Baal HaBayis turned to the other mechad and said, "When you told me, you asked me for your money, and I said, ain't mois. But what was going through your mind? I mean, you must have been thinking something. What were you thinking?" He said, "I'll be honest with you. I thought, sometimes a person in business is not so liquid. I assume you just invested in some pragmatia. So right now you don't have the money."
Okay. But then you said tein li behema. For marti ain li behema. So what were you thinking then? But machashadatani or marti. So you said, I said shema muskeres biyad acherim. I assume that maybe you took the behemas, you leased them out. All the cars in the lot are leased out now. You don't have them. Bishoshamatli tein li karka. When you said give me karka, for marti locha ain li karka machashadatani. What were you thinking then? Or marti, I thought shema muskeres biyad acherim. Maybe you took the karka and you leased it out as well. You have tenants. There's lease agreements that you can't violate. Bishoshamatli locha ain li peiros. But then you asked me for peiros, and I said I don't even have peiros. What were you thinking then? But machashadatani, must have been choshed me then. But Martis, I'll tell you the truth. I said shema ina musaris. Maybe you have peiros, but you didn't get maisa yet, and therefore you don't want to give it to me. But then you asked me for karm v'kasas. I said I don't even have that. But machashadatani, Martis, I'll be honest. At that point, I thought shema hikdash kol nechassal l'shamay. He said you must have been makdash everything. All your nechassim are probably hikdash. You don't own it anymore, and that's why you can't give it to me. Amaloi. So the balabayas turned to the other mechon, and he told him avoida. He said I swear kachay. Exactly what happened. He died to call Nichsi. I took all my nechassim and I made them hektish. And the reason I did it was Bishvil Hurkinis Bini, because of my son Hurkinis, Shalai Asak Betairo, because he wasn't learning Torah. See, Eitzel Chaveri Bedarim. And he said, when I came to my friends in the south, he tiruli kol Nidre, they were Matin Neder, Va'ato, and he took. Turned to this other mechon and gave him a bracha. He said, "Kishem shadatani l'schos, just like you were just dan me l'kaf schos, ha'makim yodin oisel l'kaf schos, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you l'kaf schos as well." A little bit more Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, Maisa b'chassid echad, there was a story with a chassid, Shapada Riva Achas, Bas Yisrael, he was once, Poida, a young girl, so this young girl had been captured, and there was a pidyon shfuyim situation, and a chassid echad came, and he was Poida, this girl. Now who's chassid echad? So Rashi says, "Kol heichad amrina Maisa b'chassid echad." Wherever you find in Shas that term Maisa b'chassid echad, it's one of two people. Oy Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Oy Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Lois. It's one of the great Tanoim. So Maisa b'chassid echad, Shapada Riva Achas Bas Yisrael. Ulamaloin Hishkiva Tachas Margaloisam. And he took her into a hotel and they slept on the same bed. Lamacha, the next morning, Yared, this chassid echad came out, Vitavli went to the mikveh, Vishonal Talmidim, and he taught us Talmidim Torah. And he realized that the Talmidim must be wondering, like, how did our Rebbe just do this? But Omer, and he turns to his Talmidim, and it says, Bishashif kaftiach tachas miragloisai. You know, when I slept in this way, the machashad, what was going through your mind? You must have been choshed me. You probably thought I did an avera. Omer, and they said, no, Rebbe, we weren't choshed you. We thought, Shema yesh banu talmud chenei baduk. We were afraid that maybe you thought that one of us, one of the Talmidim, can't be trusted. And as a result, you felt you had to watch this girl. But chas v'shalom, we never thought you did an aveiro. He said, but then I got up in the morning, I went to the mikveh. So why do you think I went to the mikveh? Right? Probably because I did an aveiro. This sounds like Tfilas Ezra. B'shashi eradati v'tavalti b'machashadatuni. Amari said, no, we thought Shema b'nei Terech HaDerech Ira Keri l'Rebbe. We assumed that maybe Rebbe Taka was about Keri, and there was an issue of Tfilas Ezra, but it was because of the traveling. That can bring it up. And not chas v'shalom, because of an aveiro. Amalehem, so he told him, you're right. Avoid the kachoya. Va'atmi gave them the same bracha that the balabayas gave the other mechon in the previous gemara. Kishem she dantuni lekavschos hamokem yodin eschan lekavschos. Tanu Rabban, another story. Pama achasut zuktav rechel tamidei chachamim meitz matrunis achas kol gdeli rebbe mitzui natsla. There was a certain thing that the tamidei chachamim needed from a woman, a matrunisa achas. Now this was a matrunisa achas that lived in Rome, and she was a woman she kol gdeli rebbe mitzui natsla. All the gdeilim of Rome used to frequent her, and this means la'avera. She was a zoyna. Amru, and they said, "Mi Yele, who should go?" I mean, this was a very depraved woman. So who's going to go to this woman? Which one of the gedolim is going to go talk to her to see if we can pull off this favor? Amalim Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua said, "Any Eilech, I'm going to go." Halach Rabbi Yeshua Talmid. Rabbi Yeshua went with his Talmid. Kibish Gila Pesach Beis. When the Sunday came to her house, Chalatz Tfilah. Rabbi Yeshua took off his tefillin. Baruch Agar Ba'Amis. 4 Amis away from her house. When Nichnas, he entered. Venola Delis, he locked the door. Achas Sheyor, or at least closed the door. Achas Sheyotza. After he left, Yor V'Tavli, he says, "I have to go to the mikveh." Vishanu LaTalmidav, and then he started teaching to his Talmidim. Now the Talmidim are watching this, and obviously the optics of this story didn't look good. Number one, he didn't want to walk in with his tefillin. Why couldn't he wear his tefillin? He closes the door, and as soon as he leaves this matroniza achas, he goes to the mikveh, and this is a woman that had a reputation. So Rabbi Yeshua knew what the Talmidim are thinking. So he turns to this Talmid of Amel and he says, "B'shasha chalatzti tefillin. Tell me, b'machashadatuni, what was going through your mind? Amarna, we said, Kasava Rebbe lo yichtzu divrei kedusha, makom tumah. We know you're walking into a makom tumah. You don't want to bring the tefillin into a makom tumah. We said, b'shasha na'alti, but then I locked the door. B'machashadatuni, what were you thinking then? Amarna, we thought, shema davar Malchus Yesh Ben Adam Eino, it's a very private matter. And you felt that this is something that was important and it warranted that. But then I went to the mikveh. B'shoshe yoradati v'tovalti. B'machash adatuni. What were you thinking then? Amarnu, we said, Shema nitza tzinoir mipiyah b'gadam. Maybe while she was talking to you, a little bit of saliva went on you. And we know that B'nai Skutim have a din of a zava. And the Mayan Azav is Tommy. So we thought you were Tommy. You pasha had to go toivel. Amal Lehemsi told him, avoy de kacha. It's exactly what happened. Va'atem kishem shadantuni. And he gave them a bracha that just like you were dan milakav schus and you twisted yourself in such a way to be dan milakav schus, so to Hakadosh Baruch Hu should be dan you lakav schus as well. Either way, the Gemara just digressed from its digression and told three stories about danes chaver lakav schus. Okay, why are we talking about danes chaver lakav schus? We were just talking about Dovash Hamalachta L'Issa the other day. So how do we go from there yesterday, from here all the way to danes chaver lakav schus? Because we mentioned the halacha of mefan and afil. Another one is Danis Chaver Lekavschus. Oh, we mentioned Danis Chaver Lekavschus. We bring to you Shabbos Taf Kuf Chav Zayin of a base. Three epic stories related to Danis Chaver Lekavschus. So the truth is, a lot of read to talk about. Yeah, on this daf, and there's a lot of rate that we've already talked about on this daf, but without question, the Gemara that sticks out more than any is the first Gemara that the Gemara brought on daf, Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez, and this is the Maisa Ba'odam Echad, Sheyored Migalil Ha'elyoin, Viniskarets of Alabayas. He worked for 3 years, then 3 years he says, I have to go home to my family for Yontif, can you pay me? He says, I don't have anything. I don't have money, I don't have payers, I don't have karvakasas, I don't have land, I don't have behemoths, Ichab Garnish. He went home, Bepache Nefesh, Nebuch. What's he supposed to do? He worked for 3 years and he has nothing to show for it. And then after Yontif, this Balabayas came back to the other Mechad and he paid him and he says, tell me what was going through your mind. And he said, I was Danyu Lekavschus every step of the way. And he said, to avoid everything that you said was 100% right. He said, because the reason I told you I didn't have anything is because I have a son. His name is Horkinus and he was not learning Torah. And I was trying to motivate him. I was trying to get him to learn Torah. I didn't know what to do. So I decided I'm going to take all my Nechasim, I'm going to make it hectic so that my son should understand that I mean business. And you know what? It worked. And that's why I was able to be Matan Neder. And now I have what to pay you. And like this, I'm able to give you what you want. The Chasam Sofer brings from the Ramah Mipano, and this is in a Tshuva Samech Gimel, who brings from the She'iltis that puts names to the faces, or faces to the names. Maisa Ba'odam Echad, She'yored Migalula Elyon V'niska Reitzel Balabayas. Said the She'iltis, you know who the Odam Echad was? You know who this worker was? It was Rabbi Akiva. It was none other than the great Akiva ben Yosef. You want to know who the Baal HaBayis was? It was Rabbi Eliezer. It was Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. Says the She'iltis, these weren't just two ordinary people. The Gemara says, Maisa ba'odam echad, v'nisker itzel Baal HaBayis. For whatever reason, Chazal is hiding the identity of these two great people. But really, the odam echad was Rabbi Akiva, and the Baal HaBayis was Rabbi Eliezer. Says Ramah Mipano, if that's the case, it's poshut. He said, it goes without saying that this story happened before Rabbi Akiva became the great Rabbi Akiva. Because we know eventually Rabbi Akiva would start learning Torah, albeit late in life, and he would go learn for 24 years, etc., etc. This must have happened before that. Because after Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah, it's very hard to make sense of this story. Says Ramah Mipano, if that's the case, you see something beautiful. That you see that even Rabbi Akiva, before he started learning Torah, he was already a tremendous Baal Midos. He was already a tremendous Baal Milo. Because you see that Rabbi Akiva was Dan Rabbi Eliezer Lekav Schus in such an incredible way that he literally twisted his mind not to be Choshed Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, he worked for him for 3 years and all of a sudden he has nothing. He's a great Segevir. What happened to all your money? So he went through all these hoops in his mind just to be Dan. So said the Ramah Mipano, you see that even before Rabbi Akiva started learning, even when Rabbi Akiva was Kishahoyisi Amoritz, but it, as a Baal Midos, he was always a Baal Midos. And the truth is that this observation of the Ramah Mipano is a Mefurash Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtes Ksubas. Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva Raya Ben Kalba Savua Hava. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd and he worked for Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva worked for Rabbi Eliezer. He also worked for Kalba Savua at some point. And Chaziza Barte and Rabbi Akiva's Kabbal Savua's daughter saw Rabbi Akiva David Tzonia Umayli. So he was a Tzonua. He behaved in a humble way. Umayli. And he had good midos. Amrole. So she told him, Imakad Shalach, Azaz Tabei Rab, if we get married, will you go one day? You promise me you're going to go learn Torah? Amrole in. Ikachale. But see, now we all know the rest of the story. But the Gemara says right in the beginning that what was it about Rabbi Akiva that made
Bas Kalba Savu want to marry him? I mean, Kalba Savu was literally estranged from her family because of what she did. Her father is disgracing of it. He was so disappointed that his daughter married an Amma Aretz, Rabbi Akiva. So what pushed him to do this? What was it that motivated him to do it? Her to do it? It's because she saw that he was Sonia Umayli. So you see, this is before Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah. Before Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah, he was already at Sonia Umayli, and that's the Ramami Panu's observation that he makes based on the She'iltis, based on this Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amadeus, that this story of Maisa Bal Nemechad, who was Danis Chaver L'Kav Schus, it was Rabbi Akiva, and you see that even before Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah, he was already Danis Chaver L'Kav Schus, he already had tremendous Milas. We mentioned in the past, in a raid bite, Aryeh Nichamtano, Aryeh Gelbart, said a Dovin Noira, just a beautiful, beautiful Hesaf on this Gemara, and it very much bears repeating. And that is, so you see from this Gemara that Rabbi Akiva was a tremendous Baal Midos, he was a tremendous Baal Milo, even before he started learning Torah. But Aryeh said, there's one thing you see about Rabbi Akiva in this Gemara that you'll never find again. You'll never find again. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva, after he heard from Rabbi Eliezer that he wasn't going to get paid, so what did he do? He went back home. He was Yotze Bepache Nefesh. He went home depressed. Rabbi Akiva depressed? We know the Gemara is throughout Shas. Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas, in the most dire and the bleakest situations, where everybody was falling apart, where everybody was crying, Rabbi Akiva had the ability to be Menachem everybody. Rabbi Akiva had the ability to be Basimcha. I mean, the most notable Gemara, but it's one of many, is the Gemara in the end of Masechtas Makis, where the Gemara says, Shuv Pamachas Hoyo Elam Yerushalayim, all the Tanoim were going to Yerushalayim. Kivish Gil Harat Soifim, they came to Mount Scopus, Koru Bigdeim, they writes Kriya. Kivish Gil Harabayas, Ro Shul Shiyotim, they saw a fax that was emerging from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. His chilu heim boich, everybody started crying. Rabbi Akiva metzachik, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amru loy, so they turned to Rabbi Akiva. They said, "Mibnei mata metzach." What? Rabbi Akiva, you're laughing? You just saw a fax emerge from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. How you? Amar lehem, so you told me. Mibnei boich. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Why are we crying?" At the mokum where it says in the Torah, "Azara karav yumas achshav shualim hilchu boy v'loy nifka." So he told them, "That's why I'm laughing." He said, "Because I know Klai Yisrael were told terrible nevuos, and they were told incredible nevuos." And I was always worried until I saw the lowest of the low. I wasn't necessarily confident that we were going to be zoicha to the highest of the high. But now that I see lochem beglalchem tzion sadati charish, that literally the mokum of the kodesh hakadoshim became a field. Now I know that Zechariah's nevuah oid yeshvu skenim uskenois beruchovus Yerushalayim ish mishante biyodem iravyomim Zechariah perik ches. I know that nevuah is going to happen. And when they heard what Rabbi Akiva told them, they said Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva Nichamton, Rabbi Akiva was able to see Churban Beis HaMikdash. He saw Shualim Hilchuboy. He saw Lachem Beglalchem Tzir in Sada Ticharesh. And Rabbi Akiva somehow was able to be Besimcha. And here you have Rabbi Akiva's Yotzeb Apache Nefesh. How is that even possible? Rabbi Akiva's always Besimcha. He's the ultimate optimist. He's being Menachem everybody. The Teretz is, Rabbi Akiva without Torah was able to have all the milas in the world. He was Saniyo Maili, like the Gemara says in Ksuba Samach Beis Amabeis. He was knew how to be Danas Chaver Lekav Schos in the most irrational of ways. Like the Ramami Pano and Shuva Samach Gimel said, you see, based on the Shultis, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amabeis. But that idea, to be able to tackle anything that life brings you with a Simcha, to be able to be acknowledge and realize that koma da ovid rachmano letav ovid, that's something that he wasn't able to do. He was able to be danas chaveru lekavschos, yeah, but to dana kadosh baruch lekavschos, to realize that everything that kadosh baruch hu does is letav ovid, that's a madriga that he wasn't shaykh to yet. In the ben adam lechaveru world, yeah, he was able to, he was a tremendous bal midos, he could be danas chaveru lekavschos. That's easier than being Dana Kodesh Baruch Lekavschos. That's easier than recognizing that everything a Kodesh Baruch Hu throws in your direction, that's Latoif. You know where Rabbi Akiva came to that? You know when it became Akiva Nicham Tanu? Where Rabbi Akiva went to learn Torah for 12 years, and then another 12 years, and then he was Maimon Talmidim Harbe, and then he became the great Rabbi Akiva, V'kulam Alibad Rabbi Akiva, the Stam Mishnah, that's Rameh Alibad Rabbi Akiva. That's when it became Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesamchile. It went from being Rabbi Akiva leaving Bepachei Nefesh to Rabbi Akiva becoming to Rabbi Akiva is the one that's Menachem us for generations. Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva had all the milas in the world. But to be Dana Kadosh Baruch Hu Lekavschos, to recognize Kol Ma Da'avid Rachmanu L'Tavavid, to come to a point of Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesamchilev, to become the Akiva Nichamtanu, that he didn't have yet. And that's why in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin Amadeus, Rabbi Akiva's Yoholach Lebeisei B'Pachei Nefesh is something you'll never, you pay attention to, you'll never see this again. Rabbi Akiva's never going to be Pachei Nefesh again.
because Rabbi Akiva is going to be able to see everything, the darkest of all moments, but he's going to be able to take it besimcha, and that's the lesson. That's Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. But ein beis medrash b'loy chiddush. So what was the story? Rabbi Akiva was Dan Rabbi Eliezer Lekavschos. He was Dan Rabbi Eliezer Lekavschos. What was the end of the story? The end of the story was Rabbi Eliezer said, I had a son, his name is Horkinus, he wasn't behaving. And I had to be mechanechim, chanoich l'nar api darkoi, gam ki yaskun l'yosim imen. And I felt that the right way to be mechanechim, this is old school, the right way to be mechanechim is to say, listen, you're out of the Yerusha. I'm taking all my money. I'm giving it away like this. You can't get it. It's not shayach. It's not nogeya. And Rabbi Eliezer felt that this was the only choice he had. He didn't have any other choice. This was something he had to do. Incidentally, the Rav Mipano said that Rabbi Akiva in this story must be before he became the great Rabbi Akiva. Clearly, Rabbi Eliezer in this story is after he became the great Rabbi Eliezer. We know Rabbi Eliezer didn't start learning Torah until he was 28 years old. If this is Rabbi Eliezer when he's 26, or 22, or 24, if this is Rabbi Eliezer before he started learning, then Rabbi Eliezer is not so disappointed about the fact that his son Horkinus is not learning, presumably. He himself was an Amar. He didn't know Kriya Shema. So this story clearly is going after Rabbi Eliezer became the great Rabbi Eliezer. And the truth is, Rabbi Eliezer wasn't married in the beginning of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. He was 28 years old. So at that point, this story didn't happen. This obviously happened afterwards. But what ended up happening with Horkinus? Right? What's the rest of the story as it relates to Horkinus? We don't know that much about Rabbi Eliezer's son Horkinus and Shas. I looked up in the Seyda Hadairis. He says, I am Menachas Lamin Hey, Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin, which is coming up soon, but that's just a story. We know very, very little about Horkinus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer. The Radal wrote a pirish on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. He also wrote several kuntresim as an introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. And we've quoted from them in the past. One is called Shema Echad Eliezer, which we've quoted a lot from. One is called Emek Bracha, which we've also quoted from. One of the kuntresim that the Radal wrote is called Kuntres Beis Tzadik. And in Kuntres Beis Tzadik Oizvav, the Radal talks a little bit about Horkinus. And he quotes a Medrash Nelam. This is Zoyar. A Medrash Nelam that says as follows. Rabbi Eliezer have a Megali Le Koidem Ptirase. Before Rabbi Eliezer passed away, so he was lying on his deathbed, he called his son. He called his son Horkinus. And he told Horkinus, I want to learn, there's certain things I want to be Megala to you before. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed calls his son and he tells him, I want to talk to you. He calls his son Horkinus. And it says, the Zoyer, have a Megali Le Koidem Ptirasei Amikta Umistarta. He started revealing to him all the secrets of the Torah. V'kabu mine, and he told him, Kuf Pei Tes Rozen Ilan. 189 of the deepest, of the holiest secrets in the world. V'kivin demati la'avni shayish demisarvi b'mayilo, whatever this means. Bacha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer started crying. V'amar kum hasambri. And he goes on to describe the events that preceded immediately the death of Rabbi Eliezer, but specifically this one line. Have megali le'koidem p'tirosei amikto u'mistarto v'kabu mine kuf peites rozino. You know what happened with Horkinus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer? He became so great that he was mekabel from his father, Rabbi Eliezer, kuf pei tes rozen iloyen. Amikto mistarta. He was zoicha to receive all the secrets of the Torah. Rabbi Eliezer's tactic worked. In the Gemara Shabbos, kuf chav zayin amabez, there's a boy named Horkinus that doesn't want to go to yeshiva. Vilnishlan, he's not holding by learning. But he had a father. He had a father that wasn't going to give up on him. And he was going to do whatever he needed to do. And it was some old school chinuch that probably is not advised today. But he takes him out of the will and he's mad at him. But this is what happened then. And it worked. Because you know who Horkinus became? Horkinus ends up becoming so great that literally on his deathbed, Rabbi Eliezer, who's the author of the Zohar, Ki Yadua, Rav Shim is a Tam Rabbi Eliezer. Right, we know all this. But Rabbi Eliezer goes and he tells him all the secrets. Kuf Pei Tez Rozen Ilam. He told him on his deathbed. But then the Radal adds one knetch that's so beautiful. He says, let's juxtapose this story right here with something that Rabbi Eliezer's father did. See, not to get confused, Rabbi Eliezer's name was Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. He had a father named Horkinus, and he had a son named Horkinus. So Rabbi Eliezer himself, we know the story. We mentioned this in Brachas Dabbeis, we mentioned it in Shabbos Dabbeis, and several times in between. Rabbi Eliezer was 28 years old, and he didn't even know Krishna. He knew nothing. He knew nothing. And he used to work in the field, and he used to cry, and his father came and said, why are you crying? He's crying. And one day, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to him, and he says, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying because I want to learn Torah. So he says, okay, learn. He says, Kenish, I don't know how to learn. I don't know anything. He says, I'm 28 years old. I want to learn Torah. He says, I don't know how to learn Torah. He says, listen, you want to learn Torah, this is what you should do. He says, pick yourself up
and go learn in a yeshiva. He says, which yeshiva should I go to? He said, go to the yeshiva Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Aleli Yerushalayim, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says the Brick of Rabbi Eliezer, Omad v'holach loy. V'holach, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yoshev li v'hoyu boicha. And he was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and he was crying. Amalei, told him, now to boicha. He said, I want to learn Torah. Amalei says, who's your father? He didn't want to tell him who his father. His father was a well-known, wealthy person. He didn't want to tell him who he was. So he turns to him and he says, Miyomechalim, do you know Kriyishma?
No.
Do you know how to daven? He said, no. Do you know how to bench? He told him, Amoid, stand up. Since Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the God of Adar, he sits with this 28-year-old boy. He has no idea who he is. He doesn't realize his father's a wealthy guy. This is 100% L'shem Shemayim, L'shma. He's a 28-year-old boy that wants to learn Torah. So he says, let me teach you Torah. And he taught him Kriyishma, and he taught him Tefillah, and he taught him Brich Samazin. And we know how the events unfolded. And eventually he starts steiging. I'm skipping now to Perik Beis. We've never spoken this out together in the daf. This is Perik Beis and Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Amru Banav Shal Hurkanis Laviyam. Hurkanis had other sons. This is Rabbi Eliezer's father, Hurkanis. And the sons turned to their father and says, Alei l'chol Yerushalayim. I think you should go to Yerushalayim. V'nadeyez bincha Eliezer min chasecha. And you should make a nether. Cut Eliezer, our brother, out of the will. Why? Why should we cut him out of the will? You know why? Because he's learning Torah. He's wasting his time. He says, we know Eliezer. He's a batlin. He's wasting. He's sitting in Rabbi Eliezer. What do you think he's doing all day? Not a geyer. He says, he's not a geyer. Cut him out. The all of Yerushalayim did not do so. You see, went to Yerushalayim, he decided he's going to cut him out. Umatz Hashem. And when Hurkanis, Rabbi Eliezer's father, arrived in Yerushalayim, he saw that it was a yontif for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was yontif. He arrives and there was a yontif for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. For you call Gedolei Amadina Sayyid Metzla. All the Gedolei, was a tremendous Suda. Who were the Gedolei? Ben Tzitzis, Akeses, Nakdim and Ben Gurion and Ben Kalba Sabo. These were the three Gevirim of Kamsa Bar Kamsa fame. They were all sitting there. Either way, they're at this yontif. They're at this yontif. Amruloi. They said, Avish Rabbi Eliezer ben Ba. They said, oh, you know who's coming? This is Rabbi Eliezer's father's coming. They start whispering. Make him a place. Asulay Makam Veshiva Wetzlai. Vinasam Enov Bur Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So we're at a Suda. Someone has to get up and speak, right? Somebody has to say a few words. So he turns to Rabbi Eliezer. He tells Rabbi Eliezer, get up. I want you to say something. Amalei, I'm not one who dover Echman HaTorah. So Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and says, you want me to learn Torah? I'm the Talmud. You're the Rebbe. Everything I only know from you. So it doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to say anything that I didn't hear from you. So why in the world should I say Torah? So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, that's not true. You're wrong. Because a Talmud as a Koyach of Tein L'chacham V'yech Gemoyd, you'll see, you're going to be able to say Torah. So then Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Eliezer said, I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable speaking in front of my Rebbe. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai v'holach l'chutz. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai got up. He says, I'm going to walk outside. I want you to say Torah. By Rabbi Eliezer Yoshev v'dayrish. Rabbi Eliezer started darshan. Upon of me'irois k'irachama. And his face started glowing, literally like the light of the sun. The karnois of yoitzes ke karnois of shal Moshe. And he had karnois like the karnois of Moshe. The inadam yoideyam yoim v'lai. You couldn't tell if it was day or night. It was so light because Rabbi Eliezer, you know, day or night. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai me'achayra. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai snuck up from behind Rabbi Eliezer. V'noshkay al roish, he kissed him on his head. Amalei, and he told him, Ashreichem Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov sheyotze zem mechal atzeichem. He gave a brach. He says, how fortunate is Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov that they were zoich to have an enikol Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Hurkanis. So Hurkanis, Rabbi Eliezer's father, he has no idea that this is his son. It's the last person in the world he expects this to be. He says, Lemi Amakach, who is this? Amru loy Eliezer bincha. He said, this is your son Eliezer. He heard, this is my son. He couldn't believe it. Amalehem. So he turned to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and he came around. He said, lo yikachoy loy loy. This is not what you should have said. Elo, what you should have said was, Ashrei ani sheyotzezem mechalotzei. How fortunate am I? How fortunate am I that I was zoicha to have a son like this? And the Gemara goes on and continues. And he tells him that, you should not be honest with you, Eliezer. It's not why I came. I came to cut you out of my will. I didn't come to Shapnachas. This is not what I was expecting. But he said, Ashrei ani, sheyotza zem mechalotzoi. So says the Radal, just look at the contrast between the two stories. Rabbi Eliezer's father wanted to put Rabbi Eliezer in chay, wanted to cut him out of everything. Why? Because he was learning Torah. And he felt that he doesn't deserve to learn Torah. It's not for him. What's he doing in yeshiva? He didn't think he had a fighting chance that anything was going to come from him. Just read the beginning of Breaking the Rabbi Eliezer. So what's he doing? He cuts him out. He says, you're going to get nothing. I'm disowning you. You have nothing to do. You're going to be estranged from my family. Why? You're going to be estranged from my family because the house by garnish. Because you're not holy money. Because you're learning Torah. Rabbi Eliezer went just the opposite. He was misacking what his father did. He went just the opposite. He saw a son that wasn't learning. And Fakir, he used the same tool, not
to somehow distance his son from Torah, but to encourage him, again, old school, but to encourage him, to be mechazik him, and it was chanoich l'nar al pi darko, he felt that was the right thing to do, and it worked. Gam ki yaskin liyosim imenu. Look what ended up happening with Horkinus. So it's interesting, we spoke so much, brachas stuff is, Shabbos stuff is, we spoke so much about the chizuk you get from Rabbi Eliezer, and we suggested maybe that's why Talmud Bali, the first Mishnah, starts, Ne'emes like Kurnish Ma Ba'arvin, Mishosh Shekhanach Tosak Mishat Soif Ashmur, Mishan Divir Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was 28, he didn't know Kriyishma, and when we start learning Shas, when we start learning the laws of Kriyishma, we start with Rabbi Eliezer. His halach in Kriyishma. At Soif Ashmur Arishoyim, this is the person who didn't know Kriyishma when he was 28 years old. The chizik you take from Rabbi Eliezer, but you can take chizik from Horkinus also. Horkinus is also chizik to be taken out. Rabbi Eliezer's son. But it's not the same Nakuda. You see, the chizik of Rabbi Eliezer is, he's someone that nobody believed in. Nobody believed in. His father, his brothers, nobody believed him. He decided, Eliyahu HaNavi was megal himself to him, he's going to go learn Torah. And then he found a Rosh Yeshiva, mentor of Yochum and Zaki, who took him under his wings. And it was with the chizik of Yochum and Zaki, he became great, but he went against his family. He went against his father, he went against his brothers, and he decided that he was going to go ahead and become great. Horkinus was just the opposite. Horkinus is a story of a troublemaker, someone that wasn't really holding by learning. But he had a father that did believe in him, and a father was willing to give everything up. He was mad to all his lechatchila. He realized he had nothing, Rabbi Eliezer. He gave everything up so his son should be able to learn Torah. He couldn't pay Rabbi Akiva. This Rabbi Eliezer, he knew he had to pay him, but he had nothing. He literally had nothing. He would have paid him if he had something. But Garnish Kahad, he gave everything away. Why? To motivate. And they both became great. Rabbi Eliezer became great despite his family, and Horkinus became great because of his great father, Rabbi Eliezer. But either way, tremendous chizik, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, and now you have Rabbi Horkinus ben Rabbi Eliezer. But atzad hashava shebehen is nesioinus, it wasn't easy, it was challenging, Baal tshuva, in you, kol chachmei Yisrael on one side, Rabbi Eliezer on the other side, hayimachriyas kulam. But I just want to end with one more nekuda. You know, one more nekuda. We learned the Gemara, Shabbos kufyot ches kufyot test, loaded dafen. And we mentioned something, we went through the Gemara, we mentioned it so quickly, I want to revisit it now just for a second. And that is the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabbi Eliezer's brothers, Glabi, his father, Horkinus, they say, you know, our brother Eliezer sitting in yeshiva, Chaval al azman, go, just cut him out of the will, done with it. He thinks it's the right thing to do. So he goes up to Rabbi Yechim and Zaki's yeshiva, umatza sham yantif to Rabbi Yechim Zaki. He walked in and he found that it was a yantif. Now the Lashon umatza sham yantif sounds like it wasn't really yantif. What do you mean umatza sham yantif? Oh, and it was Sukkot in Yerushalayim. What, as opposed to in the Galil, what was it there? It was Hanukkah? Right, umatza sham yantif. What does it mean umatza sham yantif? Says the Radal, it's muchach that it wasn't really yantif. Because it was yantif, what would it meant, umatza sham yantif? See, he says, I don't know for sure, but this is what libi oimerli. You know what I think pshat is? Is the Gemara says in the Masechta Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Amr Abaya said, Tesi li, I'm going to get schar. The kichazino tzurim rabbanon the shalom masechta. Because when I see a tzurim rabbanon that finishes a masechta, a vidna yoyim atav the rabbanon. You know what I do? I make a yontif for the rabbanon. He says, I think, you know what happened? This was a siyum. He walked into a siyum. That's what happened. He walked into a siyum. It was a yoyim atav the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was a yoyim atav to the chachamim. He walks in and he sees this unbelievable party. Now, you see how you're supposed to make a siyum. Who was at the siyum? Ben Zitzes Akeses, Nakdim Ben Gurion, Ben Kal. How's that for a lineup? He had all the Gedolei Olam were there. I mean, everybody was there. This was the Siyum. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus got up to speak. He was speaking at a Siyum. You know, when we learned the Gemara, you know, we've learned this Gemara so many times, right? Amar Abaya, tasteily, I'm going to get schar. The kichazino tzum rabbanon, the shalom asachta, what do I do? Avidne yoyim atavu the rabbanon. After every time I learned this Gemara, I thought the same thing. Siyum. Right, what's the mechah? How are you supposed to make a siyum? The Ramah says, it's halacha shulchan aruch. In Yoridei, Reish Mem Vav, kishem esayim meseches, when you finish a mesechta, mitzvah lismayach v'lasu yisuda. V'nikra sudas mitzvah. It's called the sudas mitzvah. What's the makar? Says the Vilna Goyim, perik ter zayin de Shabbos, kuf yud ches amid beis, amr abaya teisi lita, kichazinu tzum rabbanon, desholem mesechta, avinu yoyim etav rabbanon. This is the makar to siyum. That's for sure the takeaway. You see that when you finish a mesechta, you're supposed to make a siyum. But it's a tois. I mean, of course you see the chshivas of a siyum. That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. When did he make a yomtiv? He made a yomtiv when they finished the masechta. I don't think that's the punchline. The punchline is, when did Abaya say he made a siyum? Abaye made a sim the kichazino tzur b'mirabanan. When he saw what's a tzur b'mirabanan? A tzur b'mirabanan is a yeshiva bachur. Rashi says in Masechtas Tainis daftalin amin aleph tzur b'mirabanan bachur charif k'may beid tzrivan beid avzayin amin aleph. That's what a tzur b'mirabanan is. Not anybody. When he saw, he didn't always make. Abaye wasn't running around from sim to sim. But when Abaye saw it, Sobim Rabbanon, he saw Yeshiva Bachar. He saw the future of Klal Yisrael. He saw a Bachar that has Nisyonis and gives everything up so that he should sit and learn Torah. He said, I was so overwhelmed with Liebschaft, with Ahav and Chiba for this Bachar, that Avinu Yoyim Tavar, I can't control myself. He loved him so much. A Bachar wants to sit and learn Torah, wants to steig away. The emphasis is not Shalom Esechta. It's Sobim Rabbanon. Because if it was a Sim, it would always made it. It's the Sobim Rabbanon. And the truth is, the next Gemara, Amar Rava said, Tasely, I'm going to get Tzchah. Because when I see a Tzor Mimrabbanon, he comes to me for the entire, I can't go to sleep at night until I'm a Hapech Peskusei. I can't put my head on a pillow if I know there's a Talmud Chachma, a Tzor Mimrabbanon, Yeshiva Bacha, that's Bitzar. My Rav Ashi said that when a Bacha used to come to me with a Shaila, I said, I can't paskin. Chaviva li kigufay, I'm in a gay bedover. I can't even paskin a Shaila. It's not even something I'm allowed to do. Abaye Rava, my Rav Ashi were all saying the same thing. They were coming from a different knitch. It was Tasi Li the Kichazina Tsurim Rabbanon. Tasi Li the Kichazina Tsurim Rabbanon. Tasi Li the Kichazina. They're going to get schar because of the chiba they had for a Tsurim Rabbanon. Abaye manifested his chiba. How did he show it? Oh, when he sees a Tsurim Rabbanon, finishes the Mesechta, Avinu Yemetav Rabbanon. Rava had it in a different way. He says, I can't schlafen by nach. I can't put my head on a pillow if I know this. My Rav Ashi says, I love a Tsurim Rabbanon so much. I can't even paskin. I have to recuse myself. I can't. But the point is, it wasn't just any person that made a sin. It was a Tzur b'mirabanan that made a sin. So I think every part of this story, in this Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, there's very few pieces of information that Chazal revealed to us. But whatever they revealed to us was for a reason. So Umatz Hashem, Hyrcanus, Rabbi Eliezer's father, arrives in Yerushalayim. He comes to Rabbi Yechim and Zachar's yeshiva. You know what was there? There was a siyum. It was a yoyim etovah l'rabanan, says the Radal. It was a bias, kichazinu, tzur b'mirabanan, d'shalom esechna, a vid. Somebody was ma'ir to me. Abaye was a yosin. Asher b'chay yeruchem yosin. Abaye grew up. He didn't know his father. He didn't know his mother. Couldn't have been easy to become Abaye. He grew up. He was a yosin. He bezat stardom. He went through the nesiyonis. Everybody goes through. But to be a yeshiva bachur, not have a father, not have a mother, and vaksois to be Abaye. The love he had, he understood what it meant to be a Tzor b'mirabanan. He understood the nesiyonis and the challenges. And he was so overwhelmed. Tasi li the kichazin, a Tzor b'mirabanan. He didn't know what to do with himself. But this is what Hyrcanus walks into. He walks into Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Siyum, the ahava that he has for his yeshiva bachrim. What's going on here? He didn't just throw a siyum. He has the gedoyle yoyle. He had protections, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so he can invite an A-list group in a second. But they all came because this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's way of showing his son. See, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the first perek of Pirkei Eliezer. A 28-year-old bachur wanted to learn Torah. What did he tell him? He didn't say, okay, you know what? Called one of his talmidim and say, go sit with us, teach him Kriya Shema when he's holding in advanced Talmudic studies, then bring him to me. I'll start learning Torah to him. No, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is what Rav did. He did the same. He taught Torah in Masa Mechassian and Surin and Tatlafish, and he did everything. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he seems to have this overwhelming feeling for the Tzor b'mirabanan. Look at the attention, the care that he took for Rabbi Eliezer. This is what Rav Hyrcanus walks into. He walks in and he sees who his son, Rabbi Eliezer, came. And it wasn't his father, it was his Rosh Hashiva. It's interesting. Hyrcanus Kuf Chazayin of the days is the story of a father who believes in a son. The story of Rabbi Eliezer is a story of a son that goes against his father, but it's Rosh Hashiva that believes in his Talmud. Either way, we'll cut it short here.